It is so good to see you all here today. It really is. Giving thanks to God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course, that's what we call Easter. But there's a lot of misunderstandings about Easter as well. And, well, let me give you an example. The cherub singing this morning made me think of it. A few years ago at a United Methodist Church, there was a Sunday school class of four-year-olds on Easter. And they were getting together, and the teacher asked, "Does anyone know what today is?" And one little girl, I think of Hermione Granger, threw her heart, hand up in the air. Oh, it's Easter. And the teacher complimented her and said, "That's right, it is Easter. It absolutely is Easter. What makes Easter so special?" Same little girl just, "Whoa!" So the teacher calls on her, and she says, "Because Easter's the day that Jesus rose from the dead." And the teacher is just starting to compliment the little girl, and she goes on and she says, "Yeah, but if he sees his shadow, he's going to have to go back in for 7 more weeks." That is the last time they had 4-year-old Sunday school on Easter at that church. But there's a lot of other misconceptions about Easter as well. One of them is when it happens. Many of us think Easter has always been at this time of year, and no. Actually, that didn't start being set until the year 325, when it was held on the first Sunday after the full moon, after the vernal equinox. Do we have any astronomers? I would like you to explain to me what I just said. Because that then is the pattern that ties us to Passover and enables us then to have our story anchored to the Jewish story of Passover, where Jesus was coming together with his disciples before he was arrested and crucified and then raised again. How about this one? We heard the story today about the women at the tomb, right? That was the only time Jesus showed himself on the resurrection day, right? Wrong. Sorry. How about this from Luke 24? That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all the things that had happened in the last couple of days. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you're walking along?" And they just stood there like they'd lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name was Clopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what happened during the last few days?" And Jesus said, "No, what happened?" And they said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in word and work, blessed by both God and the people. And then our high priests and our leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was, the one who would deliver all of Israel. And it is now the third day since that happened. But some of our women completely confused us this morning, because early on they were at the tomb and they couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check it out, and they found it empty, just as the women said it was. But they didn't see Jesus. Then he said to them, Jesus, that is, said to them, "You're so thick-headed. You are so slow-hearted. Why can't you simply believe all that the prophets have said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer, and only then enter into his glory? And then he started at the beginning with the books of Moses, and he went through all of the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. And they came to the edge of the village that they were heading to. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they pressed him, "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening and the day is done." So he went in with them, and here's what happened. He sat down at the table next to them, and taking the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And at that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him as Jesus. And when Jesus disappeared, in that moment, back and forth, they talked. Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road and he opened up those scriptures to us? They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their feet, and they were headed back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered there, and they said, "It really happened. The Master's been raised up. Simon saw him. The women saw him." And Clopas and the other man said, "Oh, just wait." And they told him everything that had happened on the road and how he'd shown himself to them in the breaking of the bread. You see, Jesus in that story shows that he did come to fulfill the law and the prophets, as it says in Matthew 5. In his resurrection, he does exactly that. He was doing a new thing, new for humanity, but foretold long ago. Resurrection is a word that we often just take for granted. But it really means not only to rise again, but revitalization or revival. In dying on the cross, Jesus freed you and me from slavery to our sin, which began with the disobedience of Adam and Eve in a garden and continues to this day in our own disobedience to God. In rising from the grave, Jesus freed us from slavery to death, opening for us an eternal relationship with God that doesn't just begin at our death. It begins right now. That kingdom of heaven that Jesus is talking about is right now and coming to fulfillment in God's time. Oftentimes we hear of the resurrection and being saved, and we think, well, that only applies when I die. Think again. It applies right now. It's a blessing to you this day that lasts forever. In these two mighty acts on the cross and at the empty tomb, Jesus changed the entire course of human history and made it possible for all of humanity to reconcile once again with God. Jesus couldn't have finished his work of reconciliation and revitalization if he had not left the tomb. Please hear that. If he had decided to stay where he was, he could not have completed God's work for humanity. Jesus' appearances, his teaching, his commissioning of his followers after his resurrection directly link to the mission of Christ's church. You see, what happened that day is not only remembered by us on Easter, but it is enlivened through us by Easter. We become part of this Easter story. It is not just a narrative that gifted people read to us. Thank you, Barb. It becomes your story and my story in how we choose to live after we hear it. Jesus left the grave to revive the world, to give hope in ways that no one had done before. And you know, understanding that we are part of that story, we can't be revitalized, renewed, if we cling to all the trappings of the old. We can't live into Christ's great commission, which he gave after his resurrection in Matthew 28. Listen to this. Jesus said, "Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all that I have commanded you." Let's take a break. What did he command the people to do? One word. Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and might. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then from Matthew 28 it goes on and says, "I will be with you as you do this day after day, right up to the end of the age." This is our work now. We have been commissioned by the risen Lord to do this work in his name. We are now his hands and feet. We are now his lips, his voice, his heart. We are the ones who make Easter last. Make it endure. Make it a reality every day. Jesus' resurrection is a model for us as well. We become part of this resurrection story. Let's ponder some things quietly this morning. What things have deadened you to the fullness of life that God offers? What has separated you from the vibrancy of life and full relationship with God? In what ways are you in need of being spiritually revitalized and renewed? Well, hear the good news. Jesus' resurrection changed everything. As Jesus cast off the shackles of death and doom, by Christ's grace, so can you. As Jesus was revived for new life and for new purpose. Here's another myth. Jesus was resurrected and then immediately went into heaven. Heard that one? 40 days he was among the people. He taught, he fed, he healed. And he didn't just appear to his 12. There was a time in the Galilee next to a mountain that he was seen and heard by 500 followers. Many who in the time of Paul were still alive. This is your story as well. Jesus was revived for new purpose and new life. And so, my brothers and sisters, are we. Jesus touched the lives of others with new hope and new meaning. And so can we. Jesus' resurrection holds meaning for us well before we get close to dying. So let's ponder that for a moment. What are the ways that you need resurrection in your life today? How does the resurrection promise that Jesus provides offer you hope of renewal and revitalization right now? That's a little different than waiting around till we draw our last breath, isn't it? We are people of the resurrection today. So here's the question I want to leave you with this morning. Do you really believe that Jesus can renew and revive your life? I pray that you ponder that. And if you do believe that, then do as Jesus did. Choose to rise each day and shine in the light of Christ, because he is risen. Oh, my God. Do you want me to start over? Let's try it again. He is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.